Take your Bibles in hand now, please, and turn with me to the passage that we read from John's Gospel, the last chapter 21. John 21, and we're going to be considering, with God's help, some of what we find in verses 1 to 14. John 21, and from the beginning to verse 14. We read there at the beginning, "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way." That is, as I said, that as we come to this chapter, Jesus has risen from the dead, the greatest of all miracles. It has taken place that a man in the grave for the space of 3 days, he comes back to life and is now found in the midst of his disciples. It is that already we know he's appeared to Mary and the other woman. It is that he's appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And also, already he's appeared twice to the group of disciples in the upper room. And it is that all these appearances, they took place in Jerusalem. And yet, when you read Matthew's Gospel, Matthew tells us that Jesus instructed the disciples to meet him up north in Galilee, and it is that he'd spend more time with them there. You read in verse 7 of Matthew 28. "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." And so it is that we read in John chapter 21, verse 1, as we have it here, that he revealed himself to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. That is, at the Sea of Tiberias, it's one of the many names for the Sea of Galilee. It can be called the Sea of Gennesaret, or Kinnereth, or as we have it here, Tiberias. And although it's called a sea, it's like really the Great Lakes that we have here in North America. It's a large freshwater lake. It's roughly about 5 miles wide by about 12 miles long. It was here that Jesus first revealed himself to Peter and James and John as they were fishing. If you go back to Matthew chapter 4, you'll find that account there, and how it is that he called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and it is that they sought to follow Jesus. And now it is here in this section in verse 14, in this 37th miracle, we find Jesus revealing himself to his disciples once again, and he does it via this final miracle. In terms of the catch of the fish and of Christ telling them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Now, the word that stands out, I think, for us here, or should do, is the word that's translated as revealed. We have it there in verse 14. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And if it is that you read through John's Gospel, you'll find that this is a word that's a favorite of John's, and it conveys the idea of making something visible that was invisible, of making something known that was unknown. And it is that the context in where it's used here helps us understand why it is that John is using this word at this point in his last chapter. For it is that he's addressing, as I've said, the appearances of Jesus after the resurrection. And it is that in this third day, he's reminding us just something of the power and the glory that was Christ. That here in this manifestation, in the third manifestation, that what we're being presented with is a divine self-disclosure that was made to the disciples in particular, these seven in particular, and perhaps it was the case that it wasn't made known to any others at this time. Now, immediately, I think there's a piece of application there for us here this morning, and it's this, that we have to see the significance of what takes place in this revelation of Christ to these seven in terms of our own relationship to Christ today as his people. You see, basically what I think John is saying to us here is that the disciples, even though Christ was risen, even though it is that there were a previous two times before this one, that they had seen him and understood who it was that was before them, yet even now at this third day juncture, it is that the disciples could not see Christ nor know it was Christ unless it was that Christ sovereignly and graciously revealed his person and his work to them at this place. You remember how it is that Luke in his Gospel, that he speaks about the two on the road to Emmaus, and how it is that Jesus came along the two on the road to Emmaus, how their hearts were broken, all the dreams that they had were left in smithereens around them. They themselves were surprised at what Jesus said, and they said to him, don't you know what has happened in recent days and the promises that were given to us? And now it seems as though our hopes are dashed. They didn't know that Jesus was literally right beside them, and it is that when he revealed himself to them and then disappeared, they themselves say, as they recognized who was with them, they said, "Didn't our hearts burn it is that they became men of the burning heart, as it were, when Christ revealed himself to them. We can think of it perhaps that even though the disciples here at this point, you would think that in terms maybe of the outline of the figure on the shore, even maybe the tone of his voice, that they might have been able to say and to be able to figure out, it's none other than the Lord. But it was on the basis of the self-revelation of Christ, even to men such as these. And it is that we can perhaps even think of our own lives. How many of us perhaps it is that for years we heard the word preached, we heard the word read. It is that we were brought up in homes where prayer was made in Christ's name. It is that we had been brought to God's house and either in Sunday school or from the pulpit. It is that the word had been taught, that Christ had been presented to us in terms of his atoning work. And yet it is that he seemed almost not to be there. There was no manifestation in a sense, no saving manifestation in our life. And what it had merely been in a sense was an academic understanding of who Christ was. It is that we could speak about Christ, but it is that we couldn't speak of Christ and of Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And then it came to the moment when it is that that revelation took place. And it is that Christ revealed himself to us in his person and in his glory. And from that moment on, it was as though somebody had flicked a switch. The lights came on, the darkness dispelled. And it is that we entered into a dynamic, a living relationship with the dynamic Lord himself. And even though it is that the Word of God comes to us and is made alive by the Holy Spirit, Christ himself revealed himself to us so that we were able to respond and exercise saving faith on the basis of the revelation that he made to us, where we were and how we were. Now, what's the application? Well, it's this, and I think it's very simple but important for us, and it's this, that apart from revelation, human reasoning powers are limited to the natural realm. Apart from revelation, human reasoning powers are limited to the natural realm. In other words, the human ability to reason, the very fact of what it means to be created in the image of God, it enables us to contemplate self, to contemplate others, to contemplate this universe, to contemplate what it means to be in this scene of time, in a particular place, and so on. But even though that be the case, it is that none of us outside of Christ have the capacity to understand the saving work of God through Jesus Christ, because it is that this work by its very nature is a supernatural work in its origin and in its effect. Reasoning powers are important. You know that, I know that. Do I pay $20 for this, or do I pay $50 for this? It's the same thing, bought from the same place, made by the same people, and it is that you're thankful that you've got reasoning powers so that you're not paying $30 more than you have to for the item when it is that you can buy it for $20. But when it comes to salvation, it doesn't work like that. You can't say, well, maybe it's this Christ, maybe it's this religious leader or prophet, and I decide who it is that I'm going to follow and who it is that I'm going to worship. Why? Because the Bible teaches us again, and we need to be reminded of this constantly, that as dead in trespasses and sins, that we are separated from God, that we are strangers to the promises of God. And it is that we cannot understand the great mystery of the gospel without God's gracious revelation to us through the Word by the Holy Spirit. And that's what this final miracle is teaching us here. Even though the disciples had had access to so many things over the 3 years, even though there were 36 miracles behind and leading up to this 37th miracle, even at this point now, it's only through self-revelation by God himself that they were able to apprehend and comprehend who Christ was. Though they saw him, though they heard his voice, they didn't know it was him except through revelation. So what it's saying to us, and I think the question it's making us ask is this, why is this revelation so important? Well, the first answer is to understand ourselves. To understand yourself today, far less anything of the miracle that's taking place, it is that you need to understand your